this, let go. Now it's actually on pause record. Oh, no, it's recording. And pause.
Okay. No, I spoke to Anna about getting the thing, and I think I've done it for her before. I mean, I'll knew it when you were doing it. Okay. You're going to have to see what happens with the thing.
Something
else
there,
I'd like to call the meeting of the Roosevelt, the Borough of Roosevelt Planning Board to order on March 3rd, 2020 at 7:04. I'll put the roll call.
Ms. Malcolm?
Here.
Ms. Carpenter?
Here.
Mr. Broman? Mr. Hartley? Mr. Hamilton? Ms. Orr?
Here.
Ms. Petrilla?
Here.
Ms. Taylor? Mr. Connors?
Here.
Mr. Newrath?
Here.
Ms. Katz?
Here.
Mr. Bondonis?
Here.
And Ms. Donato and Ms. Roberts are here. Okay.
I know that we have one new member that needs to have the oath of office. Do you have an oath with you?
Right here.
Okay. So I'm going to administer the oath of office for you, sir. Would you raise your right hand, Mr. Bondonis, and follow, I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to same and to the governments established in the United States and in this state, under the authority of the people, and that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of the office of alternate three of the Borough Roosevelt Planning Board, according to the best of my ability. Thank you so much. I'm going to pass this on to ask you to sign it, and you have to pass it back, and I'll notarize your signature. Thank you.
And, the next, we have to approve. Oh, I'm sorry. The open public meeting statement. The annual agenda of meetings has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Times of Trenton and posted on the bulletin board in this building and filed with the municipal clerk on January 7th, 2020. And we did the oath of office. And now we have to appoint Thomas Thomas as our professional planner.
So moved. Second.
Okay, so moved. Second. And we need a roll call vote.
Yeah.
Ms. Carpenter?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton? Ms. Orr?
Yes.
Ms. Petrilla?
Yes.
Ms. Taylor? Mr. Connors?
Yes.
Mr. Newrath?
Yes.
Ms. Katz?
Am I supposed to vote? Because you have a quorum, I think, right?
Oh.
Yes, you only call you have 9 members, and you don't call the alternates except in the absence or disqualification of a regular. So I didn't count how many you have, but
6.
So then you do vote.
We do vote?
You vote in the absence or disqualification of a regular member.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes.
And all alternates are permitted to participate in discussions, regardless of whether or not they vote. Okay. So it's like a training session.
And Mr. Von Bons.
Yes.
And now we have to approve the minutes of the September 3rd.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Second.
Second.
Mr. Connors.
So, Ms. Carpenter?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Ms. Orr?
Yes.
Ms. Petrilla?
Yes.
Mr. Connors?
Yes.
Mr. Newrath?
Yes.
Ms. Katz?
Yes.
Mr. Bondonis?
Yes.
Okay, they're so approved. And we have to also approve the minutes of the January 7th. 2020 meeting. Have a motion.
Move the minutes of January 7th, 2020.
Okay. No, second. Ms. Ward.
Ms. Carpenter?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Ms. Ward?
Yes.
Ms. Petrilla?
Yes.
Ms. Taylor? Mr. Connors?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Katz?
If I wasn't at the meeting.
You were January 7th.
Oh, January 7th. Okay. I just looked at you. I'm sorry. I have one thing under new other business. It says that I said that someone was taking down a fence.
Someone was what?
Taking down a fence. I never said that they were taking down a fence on my property. They said they could take the fence down. And also, I didn't ask about the planning board handling it. I said, you know, this is something that could affect the town.
Okay, if you'd like to make the changes, I will make them after.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just saw it now.
She made a motion to, I think what you're proposing is to amend the minutes.
Yeah, just that one thing. I'm sorry.
The way that it works is you vote on the amendment unless, you know, we try not to get too technical with the Robert's Rules of Order. Mm-hmm. The technical way an amendment is done is you vote the amendment first and then you vote the motion in chief. So we don't really need to follow that formality, but if she's proposing changes to the text of the minutes, those changes need to be incorporated in if they are accurate and the other board members agree before the motion is adopted, before you approve the minutes.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
You didn't do anything wrong. If you perhaps can, what I encourage all board members to do when they receive the minutes is to review them in advance and make comments and just relay them directly to Kim. Mm-hmm. Then that way, you know, we can get them in. But
I didn't realize that.
Just show me where is your comment. Public comment? Is it under public?
New other business.
New other business.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you did not say, you didn't ask if it was something the planning board might handle?
No, I had originally,
the
spoken to Peggy and just said, you know, the town should know that this kind of thing was happening. That was all.
All right. Should know. So that sentence would read, you wanted to know if it was something the borough should handle. Is that right? Would that be accurate, or should know about?
No, I just wanted them to be aware because, you know, it could be happening everywhere.
All right, so something the borough should know about.
Yeah.
All right?
As far as the trees.
She relayed about how people were cutting trees down. I don't think you need to say anything about the fence.
No, I didn't.
Take it out.
Nobody took it down.
Okay.
It wasn't who lives there now. It was before.
Okay, so I will handle these so that everybody knows. Here's what that paragraph would say. So that she wanted to know if it was something the borough should know about. She wanted to, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
She relayed a story about how people were cutting trees down, period. That would be it, and the rest of the text would remain the same. She was presented with a new survey, etc. Okay, does that accurately reflect the
text?
Yeah,
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, with those amendments, then you can have a motion.
Okay, and a motion.
I'll pass these on so she can have my changes.
Okay. A motion to amend the minutes.
Are you asking for a motion?
Yes.
Move to amend the minutes.
On June 2nd. Okay.
Ms. Carpenter?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Ms. Orr?
Yes.
Ms. Petrella?
Yes.
Mr. Connors?
Yes.
Mr. Neurath?
Yes.
Ms. Kapp?
Yes.
Mr. Baldonis?
Yes.
He can't vote on it. He wasn't at the previous meeting. Thank you for voting anyway.
I was here. I just wasn't.
Yeah.
You weren't a member. You can't vote on it. You weren't here as a member.
And correspondence? Kim, do you do that? Correspondence?
You do.
Okay.
Yeah, just read each one and then if anyone has a question.
The New Jersey Planner you all have for November and December 2019. The paper on Millstone Township Planning Board public hearing for amended housing with their fair share plan. There are letters regarding Four Pine Drive variance applicant. There's a letter from February of interest for the Hilltop Swim Club property. There's a fresh water wetlands general mosquito control permits, information on that. Upper Freehold adoption of solar energy systems. Millstone ordinance amending zoning district regulations. Millstone ordinance amending land use and development regulations. Millstone ordinance amending land use and development regulations and schedule. Millstone ordinance amending land use and development regulations and escrow fees. Millstone ordinance amending land use and development regulations. And there's a certification of the soil erosion and sediment plan certification letter in the correspondence. And the mayor.
I think that's just available in the office. If
yes.
Anyone wants to read it.
Yes. And I think Kim did a nice job of putting that all out here. And if not, copies are available in the office. Report of the mayor.
The last few council meetings, we've just been discussing our streets and roads projects, which are in the works. I think Homestead and Cedar Court are slated to begin.
Elm. Nerco and
Homestead,
Cedar,
and
Elm.
Two courts and Homestead are slated to begin this spring. Homestead is half of Homestead. The first half was repaved 8 years ago. So this is phase two. And then also we've gotten grants, thanks to our engineer, Carmela Roberts. We've received a sizable amount of grants to do School Lane, Farm Lane, Nurco Road. So there, we've been discussing all of those ongoing projects. We've also been discussing, you know, the tree ordinance, which we're hoping to put in place as soon as possible, where residents will have, probably the borough will be hiring a professional arborist to determine whether a tree, if it's not posing any hazard or danger, if it's, there's any kind of safety issue, then it would be fine to take it down. But otherwise, we're looking at ordinances from other towns, and we would like an ordinance if the tree is healthy and a certain diameter and height, that you'd have, we'd have to consult with the arborist before a resident could take that tree down, or anything from taking a single tree down to clear cutting their land. Because I think, as you know, we've been discussing, we've had a real problem with that in the past couple of years. And of course, the ongoing discussions about our school and trying to receive emergency aid so that the Roosevelt School does not have to close. And I think you're aware that we lost so much money on the first go-around, that much more than triple of what we were told we were going to lose, that we had to disband the sixth grade immediately. So we're hoping to prevent the closing of our entire school by going for emergency aid. We've had one of our assemblymen, Assemblyman Dancer, has introduced a bill in the assembly to, at first we were thinking we would get an exemption based on our historic status and, you know, a lot of other factors. We're the number one academically performing school in Monmouth County, great school. But it seems that it's we have a better chance of just asking for emergency aid. For enough, we're asking the, this bill is, states that it will give us enough money for at least 5 more years. And then after that, we can, you know, that gives us time to decide how we, or the further steps we have to take to keep the school open. And I think that's really the only crucial matters we've really been discussing.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. And the Environmental Commission representative is Mr. Hartley,
yes,
who is not here.
Traveling.
So we won't have a report from him. And we move on to site plans, subdivisions, variances, and Ms. Roberts go first with her.
Well, I think we have an email.
All right, first let's do this is on the application for Nazaroth. Is that what you were referring
yes.
to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is carried from the previous meeting, and Ms. Nazaroth, the board secretary advised me, I guess yesterday, that you were deficient in not posting your additional escrow funds. They're the monies that need to be posted pursuant to the ordinance. Oh, it was today? Okay. All right. And what are you going to do about posting what you need to do in order for the...
Right here.
You have the check?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Then you can just give it to the secretary then. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. I thought that she said you didn't have it with you. Okay. Thank you. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mrs. Sandstrom. Okay. That takes care of that.
Okay. And the engineer will give her report.
Yes. So this application was considered at the last meeting. The applicant went with the recommendations of the board engineer. He had additional information sought. Ordinarily, we will take the applicant first. Okay. They will get up and... So you have someone with you, Mrs.
Yes.
Nazaroth?
Yes.
So could you please come forward to the microphone, please, and introduce yourself, and I'll have you sworn in. Are you the architect or the surveyor or the engineer?
Project manager for the firm in this project.
The firm being the architectural firm?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And your name, sir?
My name is Marvin Towler.
Okay. And so what's the name of the firm, Mr. Towler? So I'm sorry, I don't know.
The name of the firm is Architect Richard Villano, LLC.
And you're involved with this project?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Okay. You want to describe what you did for Mrs. Nazaroth? Mr. and Mrs. Nazaroth. And may I just ask you, what do you have any professional qualifications? Like, are you a planner, an engineer, an architect, or you're the project manager?
I'm the project manager. I don't have a formal engineering license or architectural license. However, I've been born and raised here in Monmouth County. I've been working with this particular firm for 35 years.
Oh, my. Okay.
So I've done hundreds of projects. I've been before planning boards, mainly, you know, Asbury and Neptune and Long Branch.
Okay. So I'm going to recommend that the board accept him as an architectural assistant. Would that be perhaps the correct way?
I've probably done projects in every town of Monmouth County.
Okay.
Except for Roosevelt.
Okay. Well, that's because there's not a lot happening. Okay, thank you.
So, in either case, my first exhibit is just to familiarize you with the rear of the property and actually where the 24 by 24 addition is actually going to go. So, on the rear of the property, this area, if you're facing the property, on the left side is where the 24 by 24 addition. So the distance from this corner to this corner here is actually 24 feet. So we are actually trying to hold with the lines of the existing building and essentially give Mrs. Nazaroff the space that she needed for, actually what it boiled down to is the space that she needed and wanted. I don't know how much she was able to relate during her first meeting, but essentially the space is actually for the care of her parents. So when it comes to the care of her parents, nobody wants to get old. Nobody wants the limitations that old age may bring. And we know that the eventuality of old age is eventually we are going to die. There isn't a fountain of youth that's going to let us continue to live in. So in the case of her parents, the problem of their golden years being a little better for them and her being able to care for them in the home is actually the main reason why the space that she wanted for them to be, so that they can have the respect and dignity and honor that they deserve for their life. So the problem of being old ends up falling on the shoulders of the people that actually have to care for them. So in this particular case, it's falling on the shoulders of her and her husband. So this is the main impetus and the reason why they want to add on to the rear of the home. So in this particular plan of the house, this is the, if you're looking at the house, this is the left side of the house. And this is the 20-foot direction that's actually being added on. So adding that 24 feet, it does add a significant amount of, it does have a significant amount of roof on it. And not only the roof that's over the particular addition itself, because of the structure of the roof and trying to integrate it with the existing house, there's actually a very wide valley that's going to be created. So it's not just a 24 by 24 area that has to be added roof on. There's actually an additional area because of the ridge extending to the existing home. So I understand in the calculation of how much area or roof would be needed for an addition of this size, you're calculating it by the number of 24 by 24, which, 24 by 24, it's actually 576 square feet. So technically, 576 square feet is the area of roof that we actually have to deal with. But it's a little deceptive, I understand, because there's actually this additional area of roof that will also gather water. So in the recommendations that were made in the first meeting was to take the area of roof that was affected and bring them all into two different leaders after a few conversations with Roosevelt, the idea was to not, originally the idea or some suggestions were to take the water and move it to the street. After a few conversations, it was sort of like, the volume of water is too much to move to the street and to have it roll down the street. So having a dry well was almost like a better solution. So that all of the water, you can't do anything with the water with the roof that's already there. However, all the water on the new roof that's generated, the idea was to take all of that water and put it into a dry well. So my next step was to, I drew this plan, it was a roof plan, to actually show the, not only the 24 by 24 area, the 576 square feet, but to actually indicate this actually larger area of roof that's actually going to be collected piping water. So when you're calculating, when you're doing that calculation of the water, you're only using 576 square feet. However, in I wanted to do more than what that minimum was. So I actually did a calculation of the area of the roof, not just of the new square 24 by 24, but the actual physical area of both of these triangles. So when I increased that physical area of both of those triangles, the calculation ended up being an area of 1,088 square feet, not 576 square feet. So because of that, there ends up being a need for 90.66 cubic feet of water being added. So that being the case, I actually proposed installing a 900-gallon dry well that would carry 120 cubic feet of water. So 120 cubic feet as opposed to the, you know, the 90 that's actually being gathered. So that was my solution towards gathering all of that water, providing a dry well that could collect it for that plant. So in the latest meeting, the latest comments that were made from the past meeting, or actually after Mrs. Roberts' review of it, she let me know that the town was planning not for just the rainfall, the amount of water that was collected in a rainfall, but the amount of water that was collected in a 10-year storm, the maximum for a 10-year storm. So in preparing, you know, you have your 10-year storm, you have your 50-year storm, or your 100-year storm like a Sandy might be, but in the 10-year storm, the calculation for water is more. So in the letter that was just received, you know, a few days ago, her calculations required for that 10-year storm. So before I drew the plan for the dry well, it was suggested by Mrs. Robertson to dig a hole to actually find out the condition of the soil and the water table of the soil in Mrs. Nazareth's yard. So I asked her to have her husband, Yuri, dig a hole. So he dug a hole. He dug a hole that was 3 feet deep. And she said, you know, I dug a hole. It's 3 feet deep. There's no water. And I said, well, dig it deeper. And she said, how deep? I said, I don't know. Keep going until you hit water. So they went back out, and they dug a hole in the rear yard, that's actually 6 foot six deep. So in the 6 foot six deep hole, they didn't hit any water. So it's sort of like, you know, what do we do next? So Mrs. Roosevelt, had suggested, hey, fill the hole up with a foot of water. Fill the hole with a foot of water and see what happens, see how long it takes for it to percolate, for it to, so I called Mrs. Nazaroff up again and said, hey, look, fill it up with water. Fill it up with 12 inches of water, take a picture of it, time it, you know, see how long, you know, see what happens with it. So 45 minutes later, the hole is empty. So in less than an hour, 12 inches of water had dissipated or percolated or been absorbed in the soil. So I'm not a soils expert. I'm not an engineer. But, you know, I've been around construction. And so after digging a hole, my observation of the hole and the type of soil, it's actually a sandy soil. It's a sandy soil with a small amount of clay in it. So it's not a soils boring test, but our observation of how the water percolated and how fast it went. And we even went to the effort of gathering some soil. And I said, bring me some soil. And it's, you know, like I said, I'm not an engineer. This isn't a soils boring test. This isn't a perk test. But essentially, it's sandy soil with a small amount of clay in it. So based on that, the letter that we had received, essentially with the preparation for a 10-year storm, it actually requires 1,810 gallons of water to be stored in a tank. So the drywall I had was 900. So essentially I need, you know, like more than 900 or two tank, actually more than two 900 gallon drywells if I'm going to gather the water for a 5-year storm. So that being the case, I just wanted to ask the board, because I'm not familiar with Roosevelt, if you had any knowledge of projects in Roosevelt needing to meet a 10-year storm requirement, or if that was part of your ordinance, that for new construction, you know, new residential construction or even commercial construction, whether that the recharge requirements of how much water is being collected, if a 10-year storm was something that was met or needs to be met.
Well, I'd like to respond at this point. All right. So the direction that we gave to Mrs. Nazaroff at the last meeting and the things that we asked for were to try to help her provide for herself and her neighbors the best addition and the best way to live. Now, oftentimes when there's a situation like this where new impervious cover has been added, which will generate new stormwater onto surrounding properties, we ask for a test hole. And oftentimes we ask for a soil sample to go to a lab and be evaluated. That's very time-consuming, that's very expensive. So in this case, I asked to dig a hole in the backyard. Let's see what we have. Now, I've got those photos, and I believe you, but I have no perspective to where that hole is, even on what part of the property. That's the whole photo, right? You just see the hole. Mm-hmm. So I believe that what happened is you dug this hole, it looks sandy, we didn't hit any water, and then you put a foot of water in and we've got really good absorption, which is great information for trying to manage the water that will come off of this addition now, right? So the new water that's generated is going to percolate very well in that area. The next thing we asked for was just to account for the new impervious surface. And I appreciate that you tried to give us a larger roof area because that's where the downspouts, what they're draining. But we're really only concerned about the ground. We have 24 by 24 impervious cover. It's the footprint that generates the additional stormwater. Some of that roof and the joining of the roof is part of what's already there, part of what's already being generated when there's a storm, and
going onto the ground. So we are not trying to ask the applicant to deal with any of the stormwater that's happening today. That's how it is today. We just want to handle the difference. So when we do a stormwater analysis, so oftentimes it's the 100-year storm we are concerned about, but that's an enormous amount of water. And then there's the 50 or the 25, and there's something called a water quality storm, which is a 2-year storm, and that's really just what flushes the dirt off of the street and into the storm drains. It is very typical to ask for a 10-year storm to be analyzed to manage stormwater in a community like this where you've got neighbors around you. So we ran through the calculations in our report. If we just address 24 by 24, it is 1,800 gallons of water that must be captured in one or more dry wells. And it's that much water because this is a very big addition on a house, 24 by 24. You might also notice that in my report, the way a dry well works is where do we put that 1,800 gallons? The water comes down the gutters, the downspout, and goes into the dry well. So at the point that that pipe discharges into the dry well, it's from that pipe and below. That's where the storage has to be. So this dry well may need to be wider, right, and as deep as they have it, but you can't evaluate a dry well from surface level to the bottom because your pipe is below surface level. You can't add water on top of that pipe opening because now it's going to start to back up right into the gutter and it's going to spill over ground. So there were a couple of things that were a little off in elevations on how the system worked. What we asked for, I think, is very reasonable and very fair, and I think it's what's needed to take care of the adjoining neighbors for this large addition that's being requested. Questions?
May I ask a question? This is for her mother, right? So why does the addition
parents
need to be 24 by 24? That's like...
I'm not a doctor. I'm not familiar with the medical issues that her mother and father both have.
Has something to do with the size of the medical issue?
Well, their quality of life and living conditions that they're going to need with the...
So you're going to come back up and testify and explain
that.
Thank you. No, we don't need to explore. You remain under oath. You want to come up to the mic so you get into the record, Mrs. Nosworth. Okay, so you don't need... See, basically what the board needs to understand is that personal conditions, your parents' age, their medical condition, those are really not bases for variance. Variances are granted of this nature on one of two factors. One would be whether there's a hardship, okay, something in the land that makes it impractical to comply. Certainly that's not the case here. The other is what we call the flexible C variance, that is, it meets the purposes of the land use law, which are very broad, very expansive, and the benefits of the variance outweigh any detriment. With all variances, regardless of what type they are, you have what we call the negative criteria, and that is that the applicant must show no substantial detriment to the public good. So public good, which is what Ms. Roberts is addressing, is detriment to the neighborhood, drainage, visual impacts, overcrowding, light, air, open space, a broad array of factors. And then there would be substantial detriment to the zone plan, which is what is the plan and how does this work with the plan? So your mother's and father's medical conditions are not really the issue. Can you explain why you need
what's it, 576 square feet. That might help the board.
Yeah, because right. I had asked you at last meeting, Ms. Nazaroff, if it was possible for you to consider a smaller addition, and you had said no.
There is a reason for it. Okay. There's a lot of medical equipment that needs to be brought into my house. I'm not going to list all of them, but they are very bulky. And there's also needs to be space, because I work full-time. There's need to be space for someone else to watch my parents during the day. And that person needs to be in that room with them. So there are going to be three people there at all times. There's a lot of equipment that needs to be brought in. And I'm not going to go through all of their medical history. I can only tell you this is not fun.
Carmela, can you just sort of reiterate exactly what you think the next step should be for the Nazaroffs?
Well, I think they need some fine-tuning on the size of the drywall. It needs to be enlarged. They may need to, or they may want to, disconnect. They've got to determine off of the roof area that 576 square feet, whether that comes from one or two or three downspouts, it has to be determined based on calculations. So, and then there's a little bit of design over what's the ground elevation of that drywall, and when it fills up, does it come out of the drywall tank, out of the lid, or does it come out of the downspout? And depending on the elevations of those two, you'll figure out where it comes from. And one last thing is we continue to see there's going to be water ponding in the area between the existing house and the addition. Water wants to run right to the house there. So the drywall has to be refined and grading has to be refined.
So is it your recommendation that we should hold this over until the next meeting and see if the Nazaroffs can comply with your recommendations?
Well, I think they can comply with these recommendations. I certainly think it's doable. If you wanted to condition an approval on that, I think that would be perfectly fine.
Yeah. It was held up already 2 months. I think maybe we can look at some conditions for the drywall and what's required.
Well, right, and a condition, if you're considering approving this and you want to be sure that the drywall and the grading is done properly, you can approve it subject to revising the drawings. They'll have to submit to me once more, and I'll have to give it my sign-off.
Before any construction permits would issue.
Right.
So can I just make one more? I just wanted to reiterate one more time for the record. I was just curious if I understand we have a 25-foot, footprint that becomes impervious. So I'm just curious if there's any other projects in Roosevelt that are meeting the same standard of the five-year storm.
Yes. Well, I
okay. I mean, she applies the same rules to people who apply. We don't have a lot of applications, so in that respect,
right. And if you weren't in Roosevelt, and there are other towns that I work in, very similar, many small towns I work in, and it is just standard procedure that the new impervious cover and the water generated by that has to be managed by the builder of the new home or the new addition. And 10-year storm is what we typically ask for.
So one last comment then. So after seeing her calculations and what that volume of water needed to be, I did consult with an engineer to find out what direction we could take towards meeting the those technical requirements for that were in both of the letters. Actually, I supplied him with both of the letters and the comments. Like everything that you see there today, I provided him with. So he is a licensed professional engineer and professional planner, and they do plot and grading and plan preparation and storm water management. And their first reaction to, you know, me, to the letter was, it seems kind of excessive. And he did mention that, you know, maybe it's his first reaction is this a commercial job? Or is this like a, you know, multifamily or residential job? Because the two-year storm, he did mention the two-year storm and the calculation for that, which would be above the 1 inch that, you know, I had calculated for my overage or whatever. So after I discussed it with him, I said, look, give me a proposal so I could give it to Mrs. Nazaroff on you taking this information that we gathered and provide me with the solution. So he did provide me with a solution, you know, verbally. I didn't get the proposal by the end of the day. But essentially, he is proposing a using the volume calculation that we were given, the 10-year storm calculation. He's proposing a 12 by 12 by 6 foot deep pit. That will hold the volume of water that was required. So he's going to give me, you know, that technical side of, you know, what's that going to take and what's it made of and the gravel and the burlap, you know, the whatever it involves for the drainage pipes to connect to it. He's going to give me a proposal on so that we can make that part of our submission. The other thing he mentioned was that on the grading that this piece of property has is essentially an existing grading. It's like it's not like an existing grading that it's an as-built condition similar to the lot being a non-conforming lot. Like the lot doesn't conform on the square footage as it is, and the lot doesn't conform on coverage as it is. But with the grading, the grading, you know, this property is almost flat. You know, there's barely a pitch from, you know, the rear to the front. So he's going to take that in consideration because it would actually require us altering an existing grade if we were to look at every foot of yard that exists and that might be disturbed by the addition.
But your comments actually go right to the heart of what I initially told the board and commented on. The property's very flat. That addition being so big is placed right where water runs through the yard right now, and that addition is going to cause water problems by the back door and the new addition. So I think your engineer read it right, and that's the problem here. Then in addition, once you trap that water, now we've got new water generated that's potentially going to harm your neighbors. So thank you. I mean, what we spoke about in January is really why we're hung up on this project here, this improvement, because it's a difficult site. For simple as it might seem, with something this flat, where we're adding something so big right in the area of where stormwater runs, we end up with all of these details that are hard to work out.
So as difficult and as minor, it's a combination of two, as difficult and as minor a project as this is, the engineer that I spoke with, you know, told me that he would be able to work out a solution using the larger pit to capture the water, as well as work out the details of the grading. So if the board would consider, you know, making conditional approval based on us meeting those requirements that will be submitted under the licensed professional engineer and planner, I guess I'd like the board to take that in consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. So the one dilemma that the board faces whenever they are asked to do something of this nature, and I think you do have members of the public, so you're going to have to open it up, but this is a chronic problem of in situations like this. So if you grant the variance, okay, and then, you know, Mrs. Nazaroff's parents, or as the gentleman stated, they're eventually going to leave us, and what happens to the addition? And that happens like across the board. What do you do with these, you know, types of additions where the reason for the addition no longer exists? And, you know, just so that you understand, you can't, under New Jersey law, you can't restrict the addition to any individual person. So you can't just say, well, you know, the variance can't just go away. It runs with the land. So that's what you have before you. But so do you have anything else that you want to present, Mrs. Nazaroff? Nothing else, sir?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So you should open it up to the public, see if there's any members that have
or
anything.
Can we, or to you the table after or before?
I would open it to the public
first.
First?
Okay.
Does the public have any comment on this, any questions?
Oh. We get to say you open it for public.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At 7, that's okay.
All right. At 8:06, we're opening it to the public. If you have any questions concerning what you've heard or anything to say.
Okay, so there's no public comment indicated.
Okay. All right.
So now the board members, the applicant has presented everything they're going to present. So you can ask questions yourself if you have additional questions to ask of them, either of the two of them. And you can make comments or raise concerns, whatever you have.
Okay. Go ahead. You said proposing a larger dry well. Could you give me those figures again? I didn't write them down. I'm so sorry. You had provided 900.
So,
originally.
Correct. And what is required is 1,810 is the calculation.
I did have that. Okay.
And so the dry well that would be proposed is a 12 by 12 by 6 foot deep.
So I need trigonometry for that.
It's been a long time.
You know, they say lawyers can't add, subtract, multiply, divide.
12 times 12 is 144 times 6.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, and then you'll get cubic feet.
But that's what
they say. 1,800 cubic feet.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
But the other thing is, my letter spelled it out for them. If you follow my letter, it's really all in there. If you don't want to hire an engineer and you just want to talk this over with me some, we can probably work it out. That's why I was really particular in here about here's the stone size, here's the void ratio, here's the storm, and then here's what you multiply by. Right? The grading part, I can't help you with the grading part. You have to work that out yourself, but I would hope you'd be able to do that.
So yes, I was aware that you did spell it out, and I was aware that essentially it would double. But the grading issue is an issue. So Ms. Nazaroff did pay for a licensed surveyor to give her topos of her property and some spot elevations. But even in my conversation with the engineer that I'd like to work with today, he sort of let me know that one of the things that is actually missing, and I let Ms. Nazaroff know that, is like, it's a simple thing, but there's not an elevation of the existing finished floor. So it's almost like the elevation of the existing finished floor, you know, has to be taken into consideration with in relation to the elevation of the grade on the outside. So that's an additional reason why, although it is spelled out in the letter, there's a need for me to take it up with a professional engineer to not only, you know, give us a solution on the drywall pit, but give us a solutions on that grading issue as well.
I think that the applicant, you know, you can't design it for them.
That's right.
They have to design it, and you review it. So that would be, you know, the I would suggest to the planning board that that's how, if they were to approve this, that the condition would be in that respect.
I'd like to ask our engineer, Carmela, because she's been our engineer in Roosevelt for many, many, many years, and she's completely familiar with our unique set of circumstances that we have here. So if the drywall was large enough, met your specifications, do you feel that would remedy the entire issue of this large addition, or is that just
one of the... It would remedy the stormwater, or the new water, right, coming off of that house. It would remedy that. But there is an additional problem with the land is sloping towards the house. And that big addition traps water that runs in that direction. So they've got, you know, a puddle. They've got moisture that's going to be up against that house and that foundation.
Despite the drywall.
Yeah, right. It's just a bad thing to have when they're about to spend a lot of money to build something this big. And if they're not sure of what the elevation of the existing house is, that's a piece of information that's critical to making sure the house is set properly, and then you figure out what to do with the land around it. So it's two things, and they've got two difficult hurdles here.
Right. Do you understand, Mayor, what she's saying? There's two separate things, what you run off and what runs into you, basically.
Right.
In and out.
Yeah.
So the reason why I brought up the elevators, because I want to be rather transparent about the issues that I realize that we're facing. And that's why, you know, a puddle of water, yes, it's an issue, but it's also not an issue that can't be fixed. I mean, like you mentioned, it's the responsibility of the person building to come up with the solutions for it. And I don't feel that, you know, the water issue is insurmountable, that this, you know, addition has become like a, you know, like a pariah for this lot. I mean, it's a rather simple, it's an issue. But yes, it's an issue that is fixable.
Well, I do know that, I can tell you that, I'm not absolutely positive, but you know, each type of design professional has certain limitations. And I think architects can only look at drainage very close to the house that they're designing. They don't look at the big picture. That's what the engineer does, if I'm not incorrect.
Well, generally, and the licensing laws allow architects to do stormwater on a small scale. So if they were comfortable enough with this, there are some architects who have this extent of stormwater design in their practice, mm-hmm. and some don't. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it appears that an engineer is needed to help.
Well, I've got a couple of questions. One is observation of the property. We're talking about regrading the property, apparently, to change where the water is going from now it would be forced back to the house. After we got this application, I drove over there and looked at the area on a dry day because I wanted to see what it looked like. Then I went over there after we had a really heavy rain. I saw this house relatively dry, but the houses next to it, where the water is going, were wet in the back. So if we're redirecting this water that's now going to come back towards the house, where's it going to go? Is it going to end up back in somebody else's yard? Or is it going to, where is it going? You know, we're talking about covering land with which was absorbing it. Now we're going to put a dry well in, that's fine. And now we're talking about water going back into that corner, basically, or L shape, whatever you want to call it. But when we regrade that ground, water goes where it wants to go. So if you regrade it so it's going away from it, where's it going when it's going away from it? And how are we going to stop it from going to the neighbor's yards?
Well, that's going to be what I am reviewing, what I'm looking at. I really am very careful in small towns, just like Roosevelt, that the existing neighbors do not become the beneficiary of all this new water because someone new has moved in or someone has put in an expansion. So how they're going to manage it right now, I don't know exactly. But it's my responsibility to make sure that they don't put more water onto the neighbors. Now, they may move water by regrading and put it in different locations, but we can analyze where that water's going right now and how much water is going to the different properties right now. They may come up with a solution that moves water and the property on the left gets half the water it used to get and the property on the right gets half, and this dry well, maybe it's got to get bigger and take care of some of the other water that they can't manage to get rid of. I don't know the answer. So you might want to minimize this over it's just an addition, you know, and it's just a little storm water. But there's a responsibility to this property owner, your applicant, as well as to the adjoining neighbors. And everybody needs to be kept whole.
That's my concern. I keep hearing about water, and I know water is a great object, and it goes where it wants to go. And we try to tell it where to go, but it doesn't do it all the time. And I'm just concerned about that.
Right. Understood.
I have no objections to the addition. I just want to know where the water is going to end up when we redo all this. And if we can regrade it so that we direct it into the right areas, that's super. But if we can't do that, then that's going to affect the quality of life of the neighbors, which is what this board has to be careful of.
I hate to bring this up. This is kind of the elephant in the room. But what about the fact that this thing is going to be there forever now, and that if we allow this variance, other people can do that, which is fine if we agree. But it's really kind of against the whole spirit of this town and the historic value of these houses. When I go out in my backyard now, I look to the right, I look to the left, I see yards, the deer are running, the turkeys are running. I don't want to see a big 24-foot side. I mean, I might as well live in the city if I have an apartment next to me. And, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be nasty about it, but part of living in Roosevelt is to be able to look in your backyard and not be seeing buildings.
And that's right. An argument that addresses substantial detriment to the zone plan. That's really what you're addressing.
Yeah, I agree, Allison. I thought of that.
Yeah, I don't want to be petty, but part of living here is feeling you have space.
You know, you know that Roosevelt actually was a leading planning model throughout the nation for the Green Belt, the implementation of the Green Belt, the big backyards leading to the forested areas. So this town got engaged in a very, very expensive and very lengthy litigation where some new construction was proposed and they did not completely honor the Green Belt. We went all the way up to the Appellate Division. We won, but they fought for the Green Belt. So it's something that certainly is not, it's not any
sense here that this application is a pariah. It's right. That this town is developed in a certain manner that made it a national model for one of the very first cluster communities that was ever built. And the whole borough is a historic district. So.
Right, but there's plenty of additions that have been built before with Okanagan War. You go on Elm Street, there's plenty of additions. People extended there. There's plenty.
I couldn't say. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
I've been here since 1990. And I don't remember any variances being granted.
They did it without the variance. I don't know how long ago this was done, but there was plenty of people who spent it and up and up sideways.
Up is a different story because up is more preferable. Yeah, is preferable.
Yeah, well, if I could have done it up, I wouldn't be here.
Why can't you go up?
How am I going to bring my parents upstairs?
Well, you go upstairs, they stay downstairs.
I can't do it.
Or that those chair lifts.
The point that the gentleman, when I first went to go take a look at the house, I actually went to go measure the house while it was raining. It was like it was pouring rain. So what he's saying about, you know, the issue of the lot itself, so he was right. It was pouring rain and the lot was dry.
Right, which means the water is going somewhere.
Somewhere else.
Correct.
It's not staying there.
So I appreciated that during, you know, the rainfall itself. And as far as the, you know, it could be a matter of the aesthetics being a matter of opinion. The way that I designed or wanted to design the addition was to integrate it into the existing home as well as it could be. You know, my ridge line doesn't go above the existing ridge line. My side elevation is in line with the other elevation. So it wasn't meant to be a, you know, skyscraper. It was just meant to fit in with the existing shape and size of the home as it is.
To call for a vote. You could also, are there any other comments from any other board members? Everybody's finished?
I just have one question. On this paper,
on
the
what
lot
paper?
Is the one
that,
from
the report, the
Roberts.
Original report,
yes. This existing lot area is a smaller lot than
it's
most
half
of
the size, lots. Yes, it is.
Half. So they're
less
proposing to increase instead of 20%, it will take up 27%
that's
of
correct.
The property.
Correct.
So that's
20% coverage.
Coverage. Okay.
Building coverage.
Building coverage. Surface. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already.
You
over.
Read that? Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's an undersized lot, and yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay. So we're proposing to take a vote.
A vote on. Granting a conditional?
You just have to, somebody has to make a motion, and somebody has to make a motion. You either make a motion to approve, proof with conditions, or deny, or to carry, if you need more information.
Okay. Some more information would be if they did it. Another worked with Carmela some more to get to see about that. No, that would be
at
it.
This point they should just do what needs to be done and make another presentation.
Okay,
you know, a submission.
So that would be the conditional?
That would be carried over.
Carried over.
I make a motion to carry it over until the April. I'm not sure what the date is.
I think that Carmela is suggesting that she has enough information at this time. To say that if you were inclined to grant this application, that she, with appropriate conditions attached, i.e. compliance with her report,
right.
She would be able to review it. She doesn't need to have another carryover before the next meeting, unless you're not comfortable with it.
you don't have to do it that way. I mean, you might find that you might think the grading, for example, is an issue that you want to see how it's going to be done. You don't want it. This is a matter of delegation, right? It means
right.
You're taking something that you can decide and you're giving it to somebody else to do. So you may prefer to see revised plans before you do that. If that's the way you want to do it, you know, that's an option that you have. You really should first try to decide amongst yourselves whether or not you're inclined to grant the application, and if so, with conditions, or if you are preferable to letting more information be presented to you before you say yes. So, for example, you said, I want to know where the grading is. Well, that's not an unreasonable position. But you're not going to get it if it's delegated to the board engineer. And if you want to see it, because, you know, the detriment of living in a small town is if you do something wrong, it comes back to haunt you. So, so you're just trying to get it right. I know that.
So I make a motion that we carry this until the next meeting so we can see revised plans
on
concerning grading and the drywall.
You want to see where it's going to be located. You want to know all the things that Carmela has asked. You want to be able to see it before you do anything.
Correct.
Okay.
And a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Who second? Okay. Mr. Connors?
I don't keep track of the votes, okay? There are 9 members who vote. She goes first to all the regular members. If they're not here, then she goes to the alternate.
This is just because we're neighbors.
You shouldn't be sitting here if you're a neighbor.
Yeah, Helen and I.
You're within 200 feet?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to even be sitting here. When you're within 200 feet, you're supposed to get off of the board and not sit here.
But I can still be a public and make comments.
You can be in the public, yes.
You're within
200
feet?
No.
All right, so the 2 members who are within 200 feet should leave the table and sit in the audience. Can you do that, please?
Me.
I didn't know. Okay, so she has a bad neck, so she can't move. And who else has?
Alan.
Alan. So you're not going to vote, sir, okay?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So that means that Kim, you take, you know, you call on alternate 1 and alternate 2, and if either of those aren't here, you pass to alternate 3.
I'm up next.
You cannot vote.
You cannot vote.
I'm not going to vote.
Okay. You cannot vote.
If you're within 200 feet, you cannot vote.
Right.
So I think you're going to have a chance to vote alternate number 3. All right. So the motion is a motion to carry to the next meeting to see revised plans as directed by Carmela Roberts in her most recent report of February the 27th. And you need a second on that motion.
Second. Mark seconded.
Okay, Ms. Carpenter?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Ms. Ward?
No.
Mr. Connors?
Yes.
Ms. Katz?
No.
Mr. Bondonis?
You're really not supposed to abstain unless you...
He wasn't here for the last meeting, so he really shouldn't be voted on, as I think of it. He can't vote.
He was in the audience, but...
Do
you have 3 votes? Positive and 2 negative?
So when will this be carried to?
The next meeting.
April...
You need to have a date specific so the applicant does not have to provide you notice, and you're going to need an extension of time to act. Probably, you know when this application was declared complete, Kim?
Yes.
I don't have that date, no.
Okay, you should try to always know that because it determines when the board has to make a decision.
I have notes from the last time on this.
And we need to have the date, too.
April 7th.
April 7th? Does anybody know when the application was declared complete? I don't want to add, it should be in writing someplace.
Yeah, we looked at it a number of times. It was December something?
Wrote it down last meeting.
December 1st.
Yeah.
But in the future, you want to make sure you always know when the application was declared complete so you can track the decision due date.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's like the first important thing to do. Why? You don't do that, do you, Carmella?
No.
Who is actually doing completeness review for the borough?
Who is actually what?
Who does the review of completeness?
I guess I did or Anna did.
All right, after the applicant goes, we'll have a discussion about how to deal with that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have it sent over to Carmella, and she has a report of December 6th. And do you know when you declared it complete? You don't know?
No.
All right.
I think the last date that we did go with was Carmella's date. So.
Well, that we can't. That's not a matter of choosing a date. So it's a matter of when it was declared complete. We can't make it up. So there's a possibility that the board may need more time to act if be under the law. We don't really know when. Here, did you receive, Mrs. Nazaroff, any statement that your application was complete?
Here's a letter of transmittal. Is this it?
Okay.
Does this help, Kim?
No, because it's not. I have that.
So, we need an extension of time. Would you grant an extension of time to the April 7th meeting? If you don't, the board has to vote tonight.
There was just a problem with the April date. Ms.
Oh, you can't.
Not going to be in town.
Okay, so let's make sure we get a correct date because we don't want to have to put you. You don't want to have to renotice. So when would you be available? Does the board have other? What's this? I know it's usually the first Tuesday is your meeting. So what? We used to have a bunch of alternate dates. Remember?
Yeah, I think it's usually 2 weeks later.
So would you be back 2 weeks after that? So the meeting date carries would be April 7th. So it would be April 21st.
Oh,
I am not available on April 21st.
Let's make sure that's.
So I just want to ask you a question. Okay, up
yes.
Until now, Ms. Roberts has been reviewing my paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just asking, what would be the reason for extending this another 30 days when Ms. Roberts can receive the proposal in hand-delivered or by mail for her to review so I don't keep my parents away for that long again. She could forward the paperwork to every member, and maybe it wouldn't be necessary for another meeting.
Okay, Okay, so the board would have to reconsider the decision it already made. So it's really up to the board.
I understand. I
think it's because they're concerned about the... I think what I heard is I think they know you're going to be able to figure out how to get the size dry well, but they think the grading is going to cause a problem, and they want to make sure that neighbors are not adversely
affected. Well, that is why I am hiring on yet another expense that I am acquiring, okay? Another engineer that needs to prove to you that anything that I'm going to be doing, it's going to be the right way, because I am not jeopardizing my money, my property, and my neighbor's property.
I understand. So would the board want to reconsider its decision? That's what Mrs. Nazara is asking. That you not look at things again, that you approve it and you put conditions on it. Now, what we could do is this. There's another way to handle this as a possible solution, where if you rethink it, you say that the design plans can be revised by, and approved by Carmella, but that the board sees them before. It's like a post-approval condition. It's a, what we call a condition subsequent. So you could say it's approved, subject to Carmella, the board engineer, reviewing and approving of these revisions, and the board reviewing the decision that was rendered also, so that we could write it up that way if that would give you any more comfort, so that if you didn't like the way the grading looked, you could then say, no, we don't like this, you have to go back. And it's a little bit better. It gives you an approval, but I don't know what the board's... you've heard Mrs. Nazaroff. I can't explain it any better than she did. Does anybody want to reconsider?
I don't.
Sorry, Mrs. Nazaroff. So let's try to get another date. You know, people don't realize how draconian sometimes zoning can be. I mean, you know, your property's half the size. It's causing the board to have a difficulty trying to make the decision. They want to make sure they do it right.
Okay, so my question is this. If you guys want to deny, just go ahead and deny. But please, I can't do this anymore.
Okay, I understand. So,
if you want to deny, then
I don't. I'm not a you. I'm the board attorney, so I don't make the decision.
It's been. You guys are just. This is my parents.
I understand, but the problem that and why I say zoning is sometimes draconian is because personal problems, if you would look at the law says personal problems have nothing to do with zoning. So if the board took that position, they would have said no to you a long time ago, because the reason is for your parents. And it's a legitimate understanding. I think everyone has a great deal of sympathy for it. Unfortunately, the law, as the law is written, doesn't have sympathy for that. The way the law accomplishes it, it says that the municipality may want to consider allowing accessory apartments, similar to what Millstone and East Freehold, where they allow it under certain circumstances and limitation. So that didn't happen here because of the small nature of the lots, et cetera. So I can't explain it any differently. So she doesn't want to come back, and she doesn't want to extend the time, which means that there needs to be a different motion. And the board might make a motion to deny Mrs. Nazaroff. Okay, can we have another date?
How about the 14th, the next Tuesday?
I'm here on the 14th.
Could we do the 14th?
Could we, instead of having it on the 7th, do we have enough time to advertise to have it on the 14th?
Oh, absolutely. It's only 48 hours.
Right. So could I make a motion that we postpone our April meeting until April 14th? And this way it gives Ms. Nazaroff enough time to submit.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been enough time to begin with, but I'm just not allowed.
Okay, that's fine. So so you extend the time until April the 14th. Mm-hmm. The board will have a meeting on April 14th. If there's any members of the public that are here in connection with this application, it's carried to April 14th, and there will be no further notice given. Okay, so carried to April 14th. Okay.
And Michelle stated it beautifully, but I did want to say, Ms. Nazaroff, this really has nothing to do with you personally at all, the amount of time it's taking or the amount of discussion It's strictly how zoning works. It's no matter what town you lived in.
Believe me, I'm not taking this personally. Okay. I'm very sensitive when it comes to this project because it's not a fun project for me either. And it's going to change my life too.
I understand. I just don't want you to think that we're being contrary or difficult. It's how the zoning system works.
So, with no further action necessary at this point. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Nazaro. Thank you.
There's a zoning application review for David Lopez on 7 Homestead Lane.
I had told Kim, the planning board does not have the authority to review things on an advisory basis. This application should just be sent to the zoning officer.
He wanted us to look at it.
You cannot do it that way.
All right, thank you.
You have you can do an appeal. You can do an interpretation. On the application being submitted, you don't have the right to do an advisory opinion.
All right, so this goes back to him and he makes a decision.
He makes a decision and he cannot punt to you. He's the zoning officer. Okay. He makes a decision.
No
if
punting.
The owner of the property doesn't like the decision, the owner can appeal to this board pursuant to the provisions of the ordinance and the statute.
All right. Very good.
There are no advisory reviews, and the same thing holds true for the swim club. The zoning officer is the one who should be ruling on this, if you're going to bring that up.
I just want to explain that many of the people here are brand new, which is why we're not, not everyone's completely familiar with the steps or the itinerary, because so many people are very new.
Yes, and your zoning officer is new?
And our zoning officer is brand new.
Yeah, the zoning officer, that's the first of the stop of first resort. And because of the way the statute is set up, your board of limited powers can't just give advice about things.
You have a
limitation of your powers, and so you don't have the authority to render an advisory opinion. Actually, cases that address that issue. If he's not comfortable, then he can ask the applicant to come in for an interpretation. Okay.
It meets what we have on the record for our parking.
So why doesn't the zoning officer just render that?
I'll show him where it is.
He's new. He probably is.
Yeah, it meets the. It's fine.
It's okay.
It's
good.
All right.
It's actually the smallest driveway, probably one of them is town. What they're proposing.
We don't want to go with the driveway. Remember all
no.
that?
No. All right. Old business. We had the copy of the draft ordinance with storage containers, and there was a letter from the borough attorney on that.
The borough attorney?
No, I think.
Planning board attorney.
Yes.
You had borough attorney. It's planning board attorney. Yes. Okay. I was just reading. Okay. And is there any discussion on that?
I think
Mr. Connors had said something about vehicles with axles. I think you had sent a note.
Well,
I asked because
the way it was written, the question was, does this apply to like somebody who has a licensed utility trailer or enclosed trailer?
Correct.
The way this was written, I wasn't sure what it was addressing. There are storage pods, which is what I think we're trying to address, and then there are people who are landscapers and contractors who have trailers that, when they're not working, they got to put them somewhere.
Correct.
Usually they put them in a driveway.
Correct.
So.
And I think this is a different. My interpretation was that this was for the pods that you rent.
If the definition of a portable storage container is any portable temporary storage container, trailer, storage unit, or portable structure with or without axles or wheels. So the key is that it's designed and used for storage. So I don't know if this has been a problem. I know a lot of towns have had problems with people with trailers, leaving their trailers as a storage unit. So I thought this was set up to address all of that. That's how I thought it was set up.
But
I think if you're moving it, it's not really just sitting there. I think the intention is, if it's just sitting there, then it's storage.
But if it's something used for work with your tools,
I decided I wanted to bring my horse trailer home and put it in my driveway.
Permanently, or you
want? Well, not permanently, but it's not something you drive every day. You might pull it out once every 3 or 4 months or whatever when you use it. There's nothing in it except when you move the horse.
Okay, so
what does that? And I have to register it, insure it, and everything else. So
you're not using it for storage, though.
No.
So the key is that last clause, designed and used for storage.
Okay, that's why I was asking if that's.
Yeah, it's a good question. But if it's not designed and used for storage, I would say that it's not.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this?
You're going to be making a motion to recommend this ordinance to the borough council.
I just want to ask a question.
What?
A pod that is coming in out of state by a company to be brought to a person so they can get their stuff out. Do they have to, according to this, they have to pay the fees just for coming in?
Well, this is way back in September, so you're kind of, we're revisiting old territory. That debate was gone back and forth with, as I recall. It was decided that if you were going to have one, you needed to have a zoning permit. Now, practical purpose, if somebody comes, drops something off, and leaves, it's not really there. I mean, it's so ephemeral, the transient, that nobody would ever know it was there. I think the problem is when you park it and leave it. But the ordinance doesn't, really address that. I can only tell you from my own recollection is that it was addressed in the past when this was considered. But
I don't see
do whatever you want. No, it wasn't put into the ordinance because the conclusion was that everybody should just get a zoning permit. But there's a level of practicality, I guess, to the whole thing. I really can't. You have to kind of. I think if you're there and it's only going to be, if somebody delivers something, they're there with a moving trailer. They're gone before the zoning officer even knows they're there. So I don't think that's really an issue. I don't think it's a storage trailer.
Okay.
You're not using it as a storage trailer. You're only using it as a. It's a moving van.
Right.
I mean, there has to be a rule of reason with this stuff.
But you don't think anything needs to be put in here about?
No, I think that if somebody has a moving service coming to their house, they're not using that trailer, that moving service, for storage. They're using it to move their goods from one place to another.
Right.
But sometimes people, need something like that if they're painting inside their house, where it's not a big construction thing, or not to be there forever, but or if someone's moving,
where to put your stuff until
you
can go back in the house,
or if there's some kind of problem where the stuff has to be moved out while repairs are being made.
That's what the pod is for.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Okay.
That's what it's about. That's what it's for, where you need it for, a certain period of time. And the debate that went through was, do you need to get a zoning permit? And the board decided that you need to get a zoning permit. That's my recollection of it. That's
a zoning permit when you're just cleaning out stuff, or when you have a...
Anytime
it depends
you
how. If you're using it for storage,
overnight,
if you're using it for storage, would be mine.
Yeah. And dumpsters are different? It doesn't apply to dumpsters?
No, it does not apply to dumpsters.
No, this is pods.
Dumpsters are usually pretty temporary.
Okay, so we need a motion. Has everyone had a chance to look at this? Have any more questions?
I have a question on this, if that's okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
My name is Ron Scabetti. We'll be living at 2 Pine Drive.
That's what you've been saying for a year.
Almost there! This month. Yeah. I have enclosed trailer, okay? It's a registered vehicle. It does get moved, but not often. In it is my tools, my motorcycles. The house here has a very tiny garage. Mm-hmm. I own a number of motorcycles. They don't even fit in the garage if I stack them. So they stay in that trailer for when I go to motorcycle events, and I travel 3-4 times a year to motorcycle events all over the country. It's a registered, it's a licensed vehicle, it's registered. It can be moved on a minute's notice, literally just back up to it, hook it up, and move it. But it's going to be parked on my property. It's not storage, but it's where I keep my motorcycles that don't fit in the garage or that I'm not working on.
That is storage.
But it's a registered vehicle. It's not a pod. It's got axles on it. It's got a license plate on it. The registration gets renewed every year with the state of New Jersey. It's a vehicle.
Trailer storage.
Do you want to read that? Do you want to read that?
I don't have a copy. I never got a copy.
Okay, it's this just in the.
Oh, okay.
Portable storage container refers to any portable temporary storage container, they have POD in quotes, trailer, storage unit, or portable structure with or without axles or wheels, without a foundation designed and used for storage.
Okay, this is not, okay. There are
maximum height, 10 feet, maximum width, 8 feet, maximum length, 20 feet. Placement, the structure may only be placed on an existing off-street driveway at the location furthest from the street as is practical. It may not be placed in the front yard except on a driveway or on the public right-of-way.
I think he's pre-existing non-conforming. Okay. This is a zoning regulation, and so as such, I think he's protected because he's had it there.
He doesn't live there yet.
I don't live there yet.
Oh, you're going to move in?
I'm moving in.
He's been working on the house.
I've been working on the house for a year now. The trailer.
Have you had the trailer there?
No, the trailer's not here yet.
You don't have pre-existing non-conforming.
That's what I said, yeah.
Sorry.
But the trailer is a vehicle.
But it read that part.
See, there are trailers that are designed for storage. Okay, this is not designed for storage. This is designed for transporting. I have an open trailer also. I have a flat open trailer with tracks in it for the motorcycles, and this is an enclosed trailer for going someplace a lot further, or if I have something that's.
Have to stop you. You're commenting on the ordinance. I don't think the board can give you an opinion on it other than
because
the fact that
it hasn't even gone to the council.
It hasn't gone to the council. It hasn't been adopted. It's just
It hasn't been adopted yet. So if I take my trailer tonight and park it
can't tell you that. I'm not going to give you that advice. I'm sorry.
Then at that point it becomes pre-existing? I mean,
I'm sorry. I really can't comment on it any further.
What about people who have, I have neighbors who have it's like a trailer thing in their yard, and when they go camping, they take it. The kids sometimes.
It's not a storage trailer.
Okay.
This is for storage trailer. Sounds like you use something for storage, but your comments, the planning board has gone over this, a lot. And it's a storage trailer that's being regulated. That's what they're recommended to council.
It hasn't been
voted on yet.
Go to council
when it gets up.
But
there.
You should go to council meetings if you have any input. Correct?
When this comes up on the council agenda
at the public meetings, then you'll be able to put any input in at that time. It hasn't been approved yet. This is what we have gone over and conferred with the attorney and checked townships around us. This is what we've come up with, and it has to go to the council, the borough council, to be approved. And there will be public, you know, if you go to the council meetings, there will be time where they take input from the public.
So this information that you are working from now has not been made public, I guess.
No, it's
well, public. It's public if you're here at the planning board meeting.
Okay.
Or you read the web. We're not hiding it.
Is it possible for me to get a copy of what was proposed?
I don't know that we can give you a copy before it goes to borough council, but that would be the time I would think that he would talk about this. There's a public portion of the council meeting, and that's when they introduce this, when you could say...
Well, there'll actually be a hearing on it. There'll be a hearing.
And how far down the road is that?
Well, I'm not sure if this will be on the next agenda or the one after for the council. And then there's a first reading where we an introduction and first reading where it's introduced and we read the ordinance, mm-hmm. and the public has a chance to comment. And then at the second reading and adoption, there's also a public or non-adoption. There's a public portion then where you have a chance to express your opinion. Mm-hmm.
And anyone who is in that same
trail
would have an opportunity to speak. Okay.
On that resolution, is there a time frame that something can sit for up to a certain period of time?
No, there is not, sir.
No.
So even if something is overnight?
As I said before, I don't think a zoning officer is going to have time to issue a notice of violation. A zoning officer has certain procedures that they follow, and they give people a notice of violation, and they usually give them 30 days to get rid of the violation. I don't think the zoning officer is going to be telling somebody they can't have something overnight. I mean,
we're not that rigid.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. But look for the council meeting. So now do we have a motion that we sent? Is everyone happy with this? Are you ready to send it to the council? Everyone? All right, so then we need a motion to send this to the council.
Make a motion to send that ordinance to the council?
All right. Second. Allison.
Proposed ordinance, I should say.
Do we have any new business? There's some people in the audience who have, I guess that would be public comment.
Are there any people have any comments on anything that's not on the agenda or that's on the agenda?
Did you not want to speak tonight?
Would
you come forward, sir, please? Thank you. And could you give your name and address for the record, please?
Sure. Justin Goodman. I'm from 301 Field Preston, New Egypt. Basically, we're trying to figure out, we're looking at the property at the Hilltop Swim Club, and we just wanted to get some information regarding, I guess, the use and, you know, if we're building.
You should go to the zoning officer. The planning board does not have the authority to render advisory.
He told me to come here tonight.
I understand that.
Okay.
The best thing for you to do is take a look at the zoning map and the zoning ordinance. The planning board can't give you an opinion.
Well, we were just looking to see what to have for the next meeting, so we're prepared, you know, in regards to what you guys would look for.
The annual agenda, the next meeting now will be April 14th, because you're not going to do the April 7th.
Okay.
April 14th will be the next meeting.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. He's new. So he's...
Gotcha.
I think anytime he's a bit unsure or he doesn't want to, rather than give misinformation, you know, he's been telling people...
Aaron, more.
So yes. I'm going to write him a nice little letter and just tell him that the planning board doesn't have the authority to render the decisions that he has the authority to render. You're not... If somebody wants to come in for an interpretation, they can't. That would only say to you, this is a zone, and this is what the zone permits, all of which you can do without spending $1,000 in fees.
So no, correct. Yes, yeah, so we just wanted to make sure.
Go to the ordinance and okay. You'll get what you need.
Perfect. You know, he's here on Mondays, right?
So when I spoke with him, he said he would deny what we were doing. We would have to, I guess, submit it to you guys. So we wanted to make sure if anything was needed, you know, additional.
So the planning board does not have the authority to render advisory opinions. They don't know what you submitted to him. We don't know what he reviewed.
Okay. No, fair enough.
So, you know, you should apply for a zoning permit. If you go apply for a zoning permit, then he's going to have to say to you, yes, it's approved, or no, it isn't approved.
Fair enough.
And that way, then you'll know exactly what it is. And if he issues a zoning permit and you look at the ordinance and you don't think it's correct, you have the right to appeal to this board.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So you didn't apply for a zoning permit, right? You just spoke to Jeremy?
Spoke with him and then discussed what we were looking, and then he says he recommends me coming to you guys to find out what you would need for the next meeting that we wanted to present. So that was...
Well, go to the board secretary. She has the application forms. She has the checklist for completeness. And she'll explain what it is that you need.
Sure. After today or email you? It's...
Okay. All right. It's a little difficult to do it now, though, right?
Not now.
That's fine. No, yeah. Do you have like a card I can get sure. from you? Or
yeah, right or on.
I get it.
I didn't think you weren't asking for now.
No. We were just looking to see, you know, how to go through the next process. Thank you.
And, did you see this letter? Then this would be the same thing. This was the letter.
Yeah, this board does not have the jurisdiction to render an advisory opinion.
And that's what this would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spoke to those people, actually, and I advised them to...
You had asked me about that a while back.
Yeah,
yes.
To go to the zoning officer, and if they needed to, you know, just look at all the maps. And
the zoning officer can consult with the borough attorney. Can say, what do I do here if he doesn't know what to do? But he really shouldn't be a zoning officer if he doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, he was, I think, an electrical zoning officer for many years. Now he's...
Electrical?
Yeah, like electrical.
Construction efficiency?
No, it wasn't construction. Or at least he told me it was deal with electrical permits. But now he's been here, and he's also in Lakewood, and he's learning. But this was about the same time.
Yeah.
So then we're. I think we're done.
I think Kim has. You know, Kim had contacted me, and you have what you need when somebody comes to you in your office, and you can give them the packet for them to complete with all the aspects of it.
Now, is there a packet I can get tonight, or is that.
Not, she can't give it to you tonight.
You can mail it, right?
I don't know if she can email it. I'm an attorney. I'm not an administrator. Sorry, I can't answer all these questions.
We're just asking how to get the information.
You have everything electronically, don't you, Kim?
Yes.
That's
so,
fine.
Yes, she'll be able to help you electronically.
And so, Michelle, just to clarify, so if they did want to appeal the zoning officer's decision, then
that's
back
called
here?
An appeal. Yes, that has you as a zoning board of adjustment. You have the powers of a zoning board of adjustment, and those powers are the appeal or the interpretation in addition to the variances. So you have both. You're a combined board.
That I do.
Okay, good. All right, any other new business? Any public comment? Any further? No. Right. I'd like a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Move to adjourn.
And second by Jim. Meeting is adjourned at
8:51.
Right. Peggy, I'm the right to adjourn.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
You really
thank you. Yes.
sorry you had to wait.
No. I see how much he's been doing. Yeah. I think he's so afraid that he's going to give people the wrong information that he wants them to come here.
I don't think it seems like he would.
Do you want to write him a note? Write him a note? And I'll talk to him. And I'll just tell him if people are unhappy with his decision, they can always appeal to him. But he has to make the decision.
Yeah. And if he has to.
Yeah. Well, they do talk, so I know. I mean, there are communication.
No, he just said he thought he had to come here.
Who's your borough trainer? Is it Greg Cannon?
Well, obviously had an opinion.
The application was deemed complete on the 26th.
Okay.
I didn't even know they had kids.
Okay. April 14th is really.